ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम। I'm going through the thousand names of Vishnu as spoken by Bhishma Pitamaha, Hare Krishna, as recorded in the Mahabharata. Name 213, Satya, has also occurred previously as name 107. I spoke to some extent on the name there, and it will also come as name 873. So this is one of those names. Actually, any of the names could be spoken on very extensively. And this name, Satya, which of course means truth, this name has been extensively used in relation to the Supreme Lord. It's one of those names, it's an essential name, which is in relation to every facet of Vishnu's existence. To explain that, we can take some other names like Narasimhavapu, which is only refers to one particular form. Now, of course, all the forms of Vishnu are the same person, but he manifests in different forms. So when we say Narasimhavapu or Mahashringa, which is a name for the Matsya avatar, who has a great horn, so that specifically refers to one manifestation of the Supreme Lord. But Satya, that refers to every manifestation of Him, every quality of the Supreme Lord, which is being described in various names here in Vishnu Sahasranam. They can all be further adjectivized or described by Satya. So if we say, for instance, Narasimhavapu, we can further say Satya Narasimhavapu, because there could be someone in a drama who's just playing the role of Narasimha. You may say, not the real Narasimha. Just like Paundraka, he was Shankha Chakra Gada Padmadhari. He had all the appearance of Vishnu, but he was a fake. He's not the real thing. So, the really real thing, despite Coca-Cola's claim to be the real thing, implying that Pepsi-Cola is Mithya-Cola, and Coca-Cola is Satya-Cola, but actually they're both nonsense. The whole material world is a nonsense world in which people think that they can be happy by drinking either Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola. But the actual fact is that without drinking the nectar of Krishna-Katha through our ears, then we're in a completely useless position, even if we drink 10 gallons of Coca-Cola every day. Not advised, even for health. So, Krishna is Satya. And this is the first point that is established about Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ultimate exposition of reality. Satya also means reality. Generally, it's translated as truth. But It is a form of the word sat, which means existence, reality, truth, goodness. So all these words are denoted by satya. And the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam establishes what is the ultimate truth. And we'll see that satyam param dhimahi, that all the descriptions of Vasudeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, in the first verse of Bhagavatam, they all point to the conclusion of this verse that he is Param Satya. Janmadyasya Yataha. From him everything came. In him everything exists. Yatahi. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayat yapi sangvishanti tad vijyasasva tad brahmeti. This Brahma is that from which everything emanates, in which everything exists, into which everything again re-enters. That is the proper subject of inquiry. That is Brahma, states the Taittiriya Upanishad. So, that is reality, that is existence. All existence that we are aware of in this material world emanates from him, rests in him, and ultimately enters into him at the time of pralayam, this dissolution. So he is the ultimate existence. All existence comes from him, depends on him, and is dissolved by him. So he is the ultimate existence. And everything else is in relation to him. Therefore, he is satya. Nothing else. That param satya. He is the supreme truth. Something else may be said to be true. It may be said to be true that I'm sitting here with a microphone in front of my face. So, all right, that's true. But this all depends on Krishna. The so-called law, the laws of nature by which this microphone can be so-called invented, intelligence supplied by Krishna. They don't realize that. And by which it can be suspended in midair like this. It's all, everything rests on Krishna. If Krishna withdraws the ability, then nothing can proceed. Just like I'm sitting here, if suddenly I'm overtaken by any number of medical conditions, such as heart attack, lung failure, severe vertigo, then I wouldn't be able to continue as I'm continuing now. So everything is dependent on Krishna. He is the ultimate truth. And he is not dependent on anything else. I discussed this in some detail previously, but it should be discussed regularly to understand this point. This is, and all that, Janmadya Sayyatambhyaditaratacharcheshvabhignyaswarartene brahma hridaya adhikam, all these descriptions, he is directly and indirectly conscious of everything. He spoke the Vedic knowledge to Brahma at the time of creation. So all these descriptions indicate that he is the independent truth. These are all dependent truths. I am sitting here in front of a microphone. But the very fact of existence is dependent on Krishna. So it's a relative truth. And it's not an eternal truth. Neither did this body exist some time ago, nor did this microphone exist some time ago, nor after some time will it continue to exist, nor will this microphone continue to exist. And even during the time of the existence of this body and this microphone, this body and this microphone will not be juxtaposed as they are presently, most likely within an hour or so, or less. the statement, I am now sitting in front of a microphone, will no longer be true. So it's neither an eternal truth, nor is it an independent truth, nor is it a very important truth. It's not something to report in the local newspaper, whatever it's named. Lok Satta, do you have that here? Yeah. So they're not going to report. Bhaktivikas Swami at 8:40 a.m. on the 9th of May 2013, Bhaktivikas Swami was caught sitting in front of a microphone. It's not worthy of recording. You're not going to write it in the new version of the Srimad. This Srimad Bhagavatam's old. Let's make a new version. Okay, what are you going to put in it? Srimad Bhagavatam, first verse. Bhaktivikas Swami is sitting in front of a microphone. It's not worth thinking about. Well, the fact that I'm attempting to speak about Krishna, that's worth talking about. But the fact that the mere fact of one body sitting in front of a microphone, as well as all the millions and billions and trillions and zillions and quadzillions and whatever else numbers that might be of things that are going on in the world at this moment, none of them are of any real importance. Even what is reported in Lok Satta is not of much importance. And even that name, Lok Satta, it's not true at all. It's just a bogus name. It's Jin Lok Ke Paas Paisa Hai, Un Lok Ke Paas Satta Bhi Hai. Not the newspaper, or the Am Lok Ki Satta Nahi Hai. It's all a big illusion. Sorry, Karl Marx. It's just a big illusion. So, Krishna is that truth who is excellent in all respects and who in all phases of time, even after the dissolution of the universe and the recreation, again, Krishna is to be glorified. And what is, someone driving in a truck gets smashed up on the road. A lot of accidents on this road, Pune to Nasik. It's a Ghati road. So every day or two there must be some report, isn't it? Lok Satta. This truck smashed into this. But even now people are not interested. It's some news, they've got to report something. But that Krishna is supreme, this is always worth remembering. It's always important. And anything else that exists only has importance if it is in relationship to Krishna. So the fact that I'm sitting here with a microphone in front of my face has no importance, but the fact that I'm speaking about Krishna makes it important. So this whole world is considered to be false inasmuch as, or asat, for various reasons. Its existence is not permanent. It is founded, or the whole material world is based on the existence of trying to forget Krishna, which is absurd. Therefore, this world is called asat. But that which is satya, that is Krishna. Krishna is within everything. Krishna is orchestrating everything from outside and inside. So Krishna is reality. Krishna is truth. And we should all remember this at all times. Otherwise, if we don't remember that, then we immediately enter the world of asat, that which is unreal, insignificant, and not meaningful. So Krishna is satya. It's a huge, huge topic. Just previously, one of the names came up, Guru Guru Tama, which means the greatest of all gurus. And sometimes some commentators break this up into two names. So Krishna is the guru of gurus, and this word or name Satya comes up just after Guru Guru Tama. So this is a very important point. that guru means who speaks the truth, who is fixed in the truth. Otherwise, there's no meaning to the word guru. Sometimes conventionally, we may talk about a sitar guru or a cricket guru or a brokering guru for stocks and shares. But the real meaning of guru is a one who teaches us to distinguish between sat and asat. So Krishna is guru, he is sat, and the guru means who follows Krishna by living in truth and speaking truth and delineating, differentiating between truth and untruth is most important. Even if we speak about Krishna, which we should do, but we fail to, as Vyasadeva does in the first verse of Bhagavatam and again in the second verse of Bhagavatam, differentiate between truth and untruth, then due to our harbored misconceptions, we will misinterpret everything about Krishna. And that is the story of Hinduism, that they have the truth, the Vedic knowledge, but it's mixed up with misconceptions. And therefore, in the year 2013, a film can be produced called Oh My God, in which Krishna appears in a suit with glasses. And people think that's okay. It's representing Krishna, but they don't have any clear idea about Krishna. And therefore, people think, well, that's all right. You know, God can be in any form, shape, size, whatever you like, because God's everywhere. So misunderstandings. I saw in the web paper, formerly called the newspaper, in Leicester, in England, which is part of Gujarat, practically. There's so many Gujaratis living there. Although their forefathers or their parents came from Africa, but they're still Gujaratis. So in one vegetable shop, the owner found a bingun, called an aubergine in English, which looks, in his opinion, just like Ganesh. So he took it out and started worshipping it. And it made it in all the newspapers in England because they thought it was absurd. Actually, I didn't think it was so absurd because it's how can God be in a vegetable? It seems that. But in another way, it's seeing God in everything. But it's not a standard process. And then you have here in Maharashtra, there's very this strong feeling of Hindutva, not just VHP style, but Shiv Sena style, which is the real hardcore Hindutva. But the prominent mode of worship of Hindus in Maharashtra is of the Shirdi Sai Baba, which is complete nonsense. Ganesh worship is okay, it's nonsense, but it's Vedic nonsense. Yeah, but it's allowed within the Vedas. But Shirdi Sai Baba, it's so nonsensical, it beggars belief. And then at the Ganesh festivals, at least in Gujarat, I'm sure they do it here in Maharashtra also, you see the form of Ganesh with a head of Shirdi Sai Baba. This is all asat. Did it reach Delhi yet? I suppose it must have. Probably not in the same force. It's gradually moving up. They have their own nonsense in Delhi. Hindu nonsense, Sikh nonsense, Muslim nonsense. Don't say that. dangerous to say that. So, why is this? How can this go on in the land in which Krishna himself came and spoke Bhagavad Gita? Because the gurus are not speaking sat. They take the role of satya, of teacher of the truth, but they don't teach. Even if they speak about Krishna, if they don't make it clear what is the difference between Krishna and Akrishna, between sat and asat, if they emphasize the oneness of everything without clearly differentiating, showing the difference between param satya and the relative satya, then people are going to come up with all different ideas. Especially because bhakti means bhav, and people mistake their mundane feelings, which they impose on Vedic knowledge. They take this to be bhakti. So bhakti is a very it's a very powerful force, but it can be a very dangerous force if not properly guided. Just like love, bhakti means prem. And in this material world, that's what makes the world go round, so say the poets. But it's a very dangerous force if not properly controlled. Therefore, in civilized society, there is a system to control that love, what's called love, which is actually in this material world, love means lust. So there's a system to regulate that. That's called marriage. And there are certain rules within marriage which have to be followed. Otherwise, it's very dangerous. People commit suicide over love, or they kill someone over love, or they fall into depression over love. I mean, we hear all these stories about the glories of love, but even realistically speaking, as real as this world can be, if we examine, it causes a lot more pain in the heart than it does happiness in the heart. So bhakti is the most powerful force or feeling of the jiva. But if it's not properly directed, it just creates a big mess. If we have our feelings, we think it's just feeling, but we're not directed how to properly, we're not trained how to properly direct that and to distinguish between satya and asatya, then because we're accustomed since time immemorial to that which is not real, then even when we think of Krishna, then we tend to think of him in a mundane way and to project our feelings on him in a mundane way. And thus, there are all kinds of strange theories about Krishna, and everyone makes up their own feelings if they're not properly directed. Many years ago, I was told this, that in one wealthy family in Calcutta, the lady of the house was worshipping this Gopal, Ladu Gopal. So the feeling was, he's just my son. That was the feeling she was cultivating. It's a common in the Vallabh Sampradaya. So when she watched TV, she'd have him sit next to him and watch with her, because he's my son. But this is not according to Shastra. There's this whole Ishmaelite sect of Islam. There were Indians, Hindus who are converted to Islam, and they have all one sect in which they think, I can't remember exactly, it's something like Krishna, Abraham is an incarnation of Krishna, and someone else is an incarnation of Shiva, and they go along with this even now. They're kind of half Hindus, half Muslims. Just complete imagination. What to speak of Brahma Kumaris. But they also promote, you see, Krishna. Who would care for them if they just spoke their nonsense without Krishna? So they add Krishna. Krishna is coming, just now coming. They've been saying that at least since I arrived in India. It's like the Christians say, Jesus is just now coming. And they keep on saying it. The Christians have been saying it for 2,000 years. And Brahma Kumaris, I'm not sure how long. But they try to... It's an attraction point because people are interested in Krishna. But they give their own idea, which is no relationship with reality, with Satya, which is Krishna. So this name Satya is very important. We should not be lazy in trying to understand Krishna. Siddhanta balaya chitte na karaha alash eha hoite krishne lage suriramanos. One should not be lazy in trying to understand the facts about Krishna, the proper understanding of Krishna. By applying one's mind in this way, it becomes firmly attached to Krishna. So this Vishnu Sahasranam is simultaneously a glorification of Krishna. Just by remembering his names, one feels purified. And at the same time, the Vishnu Sahasranam gives us many insights into the qualities of Krishna that make him Krishna. So, he is Satya because he has all these qualities. He's complete. Okay, I'll go on to another name now. Satya, one more thing. I mean, there are so many things, but Parashara Bhatta, who is the prominent Sri Vaishnav commentator on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, the particular verse in which this name Satya appears for the second time, he describes these names as all being in relation or to Matsya Avatar. So he says that, what does he say? He says that Satya is the name of Matsya Avatar because he was good. Satya means, can mean good. Sat means good. Because he helped the Sat Purushas, such as Manu, who sought his help. We can also say that he is Satya Matsya. He's the real fish. When people hear that, just like they hear Hindus are worshipping Brinjal, they think that's very strange. But we worship Vishnu as fish, tortoise, a pig, half man, half lion, and so on. Horse, there are so many. Horse, that looks nice, can look nice, but generally we don't think a fish looks nice or a pig looks nice. So I'm giving these examples. Tortoise, oh, what a beautiful tortoise. You don't say that. So these forms, from our perspective, seem to be not very nice. In the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, we find that when Shukadev says to Parikshit Maharaj, he starts to explain about the Matsya Avatar. Now, of course, Parikshit Maharaj, he must have heard of the Matsya Avatar before. It wasn't the first time in his life he heard about that. But previously he'd been a king and busy with different things, and now he had the full opportunity to sit and hear about Krishna non-stop. So a question came to his mind, and he had the right person in front of him to answer that. He may have known the answer or had an insight to the answer, but even if we know the answer to the question, if we ask a learned and pure devotee, we may find that we learn more about the answer. And even the person who's answering the question, they may also learn more by the grace of Krishna, who inspires them from within the heart. So, Parikshit Maharaj said to Shukdev that the form of a fish is most abominable, the lowest. If we see the gradation of species given in Padma Purana, first comes the aquatics. Jalaja navalakshani sthavara laksha vinshati. First of all, the aquatics are mentioned. They are lower than the plants. It's considered to be a lower life form. Even though a fish might have more consciousness than a tree, but its situation in the water, in the darkness, is considered to be the lowest status in the karmic cycle. So, Shukdev made the point, which he'd already made in Srimad Bhagavatam previously, but this gave an opportunity to make it more clear for the benefit of those who might not understand. Shukdev was speaking to Parikshit, but there were many other rishis, thoughtful, pious persons present, who, even though they'd spent their whole life, and in many cases very long lives, studying Shastra, performing austerities, in doing satya sadhana, performing sadhana for the sake of understanding the truth, even then, they were not as advanced in their understanding as Parikshit, who had been a grihastha all his life and apparently a great materialist. You can't be a bigger materialist than the emperor of the whole world. But their understanding was not as developed as Parikshit's. So Shukadev explained that the form of the personality of Godhead is never like, it should not be understood or judged in terms of the forms of this world. The form of a fish, the form of a pig, that is Vishnu, is fully knowledgeable, blissful, and beautiful. Now, you can't imagine a beautiful pig. It's beyond our imagination. But from the pig's point of view, probably the most beautiful woman in the human species is as unattractive as we find the most fat, smelly pig. So it's all a question of perverted perspective. Krishna is actually beautiful, real. Sometimes there's the theory of anthropomorphism, that man has imagined God to be like a human, but actually it's round the other way. As Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote, as is stated in the Bible, that God created man in his own image. It's not that we have this form and therefore we imagine some God to be like that, but rather he is like that and he gives us these forms. And however attractive we may seem, Miss Universe or whatever, even from the demigod's point of view, the most beautiful woman in this world or the most attractive man in this world is just some smelly stink bag. They're just human. They're always sweating and passing stool. But then from the transcendental point of view, even the body of a demigod, which is far advanced, far more advanced and attractive than those of the humans, it's also of no consequence. So, satya, matsya, the real fish, not the imitation fish, which is condemned, very low species. But the worshipable personality of Godhead is the fish. So, one more name I'll do today. Satya Parakrama. This means, Parakrama means valor. Something like viryata, you could say. The English word is translated as valor. So, Parakrama means someone who does great activities, a hero. So Satya Parakrama, he's the real hero. Just like we have the Bollywood term Nayaka, which is translated as hero, the film hero. But it's really false. The cinema hero is all false because it's just some story which someone made up. They show all these movie heroes, they're going out to fight, but if you put them in a real fight, they'd all run away. In the movie, they look really tough. But if you just, you know, ask them to take a cold shower or something, then they're probably, you know, they just collapse. So, actually, some of them were tough. There was Steve McQueen of Hollywood fame, who used to do all his stunts himself. So he prided himself. He didn't get a stuntman to do his stunts. He did them himself. So. But, surprise, surprise, he also died. So he can't be a real hero. That who can really protect us? What's that verse the Prahlad Maharaj says? The The child thinks my parents are protecting me, but actually the parents can't protect you. No. If you're in the ocean and you're on a boat, you think, oh, I'm very safe. But the Titanic sank. They thought it would never, they advertised it would never sink. And then they saw it was going straight toward an iceberg. And they looked, and we're going straight towards an iceberg. It doesn't matter, we're not going to sink. The next thing, it sunk. So, tatasya chat pratividhir yaha san visheshtas tavad vibho da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I lost the last lines because I don't have satya smriti. Tanu britang tvadupekshitanam. Those who do not those who are neglected by you, who are not protected by you, they cannot be saved from any danger or difficulty. This Prahlad prays to Nrsimha. So he is the real hero. All others are false heroes. Everyone else is great activities. They're small activities. And he shows the acts that he does are just so much, even when he comes in this world and acts in many ways like a human being, means Krishna comes, Rama comes, so he doesn't come as Mahavishnu. He wouldn't fit on this earth anyway as Mahavishnu. So he comes as if a human being, but the things he does, just like Ram's there in the forest, and then Kara and Dushana come with all their soldiers and pulls out his well, that's machine gun, but with his arrows. They're all dead. Which, no one could do that. In the whole world, maybe Ravana could kill them, but he wasn't going to kill them because they're his men. But Ram just very quickly just killed them all. And that's just a minor. Breaking the bow of Lord Shiva, no one can do. He did. The condition for marrying Sita was not even to break the bow, just to even pick it up and string it and fire it. But he pulled it so hard, just broke. So this is inconceivable. Who can break the bow of Lord Shiva? Only someone who's greater than Shiva. Krishna also. So many acts he performed. His wife is harassing him. I want a flower from heaven. So he has to go up to heaven and fight all the demigods, and well, he didn't just bring a flower, he brought a whole tree, so he wouldn't have to go back and forward every time. So that's Krishna. If your wife harasses you, I want a flower from heaven, you might, you know, send her off quickly to heaven and get yourself put in jail for doing so. But you can't go to heaven and bring a flower, but Krishna does. And his wife knows he can do it, therefore she harasses him in a way that even an ordinary wife wouldn't harass her husband. Because she knows how, she doesn't ask, just go around, go to the bazaar and get me some flowers. She, go to heaven and get me some flowers. What's the use of you being Bhagawan if you can't even bring me some flowers from heaven? So, the whole point is, he's not an ordinary person. This should be understood from Vishnu Sahasranam. Yeah. He's a real hero, not just a Bollywood hero. Or even the great heroes of this world, like the Mao Zedong and the Hitlers and the Churchills and the Gandhis, whichever Gandhi you want, there's a whole clan of them now. Mahatma Gandhi, and anyway, let's not talk about them. So people see them as a hero. Nowadays, there are no real heroes. Maybe one, your Maharashtra, Anna Hazare's trying to be a hero. But people think of another Marathi fellow, Sachin Tendulkar, as a hero. But what is his heroism? His extraordinary ability to hit a ball with a bat and run like anything. But what is the value? Where is the satyatva? What is there, actually? I mean, it's because people imagine it to be satya, but it's not satya. The cricket is complete nonsense. It has no value whatsoever. But because people do not know the satya parakrama, the real hero, therefore they imagine some useless sports, and someone who's good at that, they make him into a hero. It's of no value at all. So Krishna is the real hero, and he is satya parakrama, the one who performs tremendous acts of truth in truth. He never stops being true or good, even though he kills so many people. People sometimes complain. Once I was on a train going from Hyderabad to Bombay, and there was a Christian preacher there who said, "You're Krishna, he kills so many people." I told him, "God kills everyone ultimately." So his heroic acts, they are all for the sake of satya, for upholding satya. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamya. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam dharma sangsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So dharma, that can be taken in some context as a synonym of satya. Whenever there is a decline in truth, Krishna comes and he uplifts the sadhus, those who are in satya, and he destroys the dushkritis, those who are against truth. But in doing so, he doesn't resort to untruth, even if it appears to be untruth. He doesn't resort to foul methods, because it's practically impossible for Krishna to do something wrong. You may say, how is it impossible for God to do everything, anything? If you say it's impossible and he's not God, well, okay, he does wrong. Okay, but at the same time, he's not wrong. It's a matter of perspective. So, he performs heroic activities for the welfare of people. What he does is for the ultimate welfare of everyone, even for those he kills. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Matsya Avatar, I have to say about this also. So his heroic act of saving the Manu and other great persons from the flood, that's an act of true heroism. So that's all I'm going to say about this now, unless there are any questions about this. Yeah, is there another mic? I can go over there. Or just ask her, see if I can hear. Yeah, okay, then I'll repeat it. This is one of those frequently asked questions. When we're in the temple, everything seems nice. When we go outside, we can't maintain it. So my answer is, don't go outside, just stay in the temple. Just stay in the temple. Or if you have to go outside, then have a good, strong dose of Krishna consciousness and take that with you. That must be in the top five frequently asked questions. How to maintain. When we're in the temple, we feel Krishna conscious. When we go outside, we forget everything. Anyone ever heard that question before? Frequently asked question. Hare Krishna.